because of that song we just sang tonight about He's the Master of the Sea. And then, like the Lord is giving a message about an anchor. How Christ is our anchor in life. How He's going to help us in different storms of life. There's a lot of different songs about the sea. I think about the Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let me hide thyself in thee. There's a song, I didn't get it, but one might find it before me, but the Lighthouse. I think Rock of Ages is 192. And then there's a song about the lighthouse. But 192, I might read some words off there. It says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. You know that Christ is our anchor in life? I was thinking this morning of a song, He's Holding My Hand. You know, so many times we think of us holding God's hand, or we're holding on to God, and we don't want to let go of God, and that's true. But, you know, God is holding on to us. He's holding on to us. He's holding on to us, and He wants us to make it to heaven, and He wants to help us. I'd like to start reading in Hebrews, and this is the main scripture here, in Hebrews 6 and 17. It says, Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the mutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This scripture here, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It is wonderful to have an anchor, to have Christ and have God as our anchor. You know, as we travel this life, we meet many things in life. And an anchor is there's a purpose for an anchor for a ship, that it won't be destroyed, that the ship will not, in a storm, when a storm comes, that the ship will, they'll let down that anchor so the ship will not be able to toss in the storm. It will be held steady and it will not break in pieces and the seamen be destroyed or drowned. This anchor is for a purpose. So the anchor is made of strong material. It's not just something flimsy, but it's something of wrought iron, and it's strong material, compact material. And there's a strong cord there hanging with the anchor, and it's cast out, and it's there. But you know, we have an anchor in Christ all the time with us. We may not really realize, but the more that we feast on God's Word, and the Scriptures are in our mind, and they're in our heart, it's an anchor to us. And then when things happen to us, that those Scriptures and the Holy Spirit brings those to our mind to help us, to encourage us. And we have a hope set before us. You know, it's not like we're living in this world. We have no hope. We have a wonderful hope set before us. And this gives us an anchor to our soul. Would it be a very sad place to be in is not to have any hope. We have a hope. We have a hope not only if we lose our life in this world and we die. We have a hope eternal in the heavens. We have a hope of eternity, of being with Christ someday. It's impossible for God to lie. You know, if we believe these things, we believe. You know, when people look upon Christians and they wonder, why are you so steadfast? Well, I believe it's in Corinthians, but you're steadfast, you're immovable, you believe in what you believe, you're strong about it. What causes you to have this strong steadfastness, and what causes you to have that? It is Christ in us. It is the Scriptures. It is the truth. It's faith. It's believing in God. It's knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that these things are true. And it gives us an anchor to hold on to. And come what happens in life, you know, some things are very pleasant in life and some things are not very pleasant that we have to face. But it, you know, it does matter to us, but yet there's an anchor that holds us. It's a powerful anchor. And I thank God for that tonight. I thank God that He has an anchor for us. And the scripture that we just read there in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. You know, God has told us many things in His Bible. He's told us many promises. He said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, this is true. God told us it's not a lie. It's true. We know it's true. It is anchored to us. These scriptures are an anchor to us. We know that He said also, have faith in God. He wants us to have faith in God. That's an anchor. Our faith. You may say, well, I have faith in God. Well, I'd like to have more faith in God. But whatever you have, you hold on to that. I was thinking about the reason the anchors are used. Also, an anchor is used if the ship goes so far, maybe out into the ocean, and then when the storm comes, the anchor is put down so that ship will not go back, drift back to shore, back to the port. The anchor is held there. There's times in our life we go on for the Lord, we're living for the Lord for a while, and we have to put our anchor down. There's something that just comes against us, it's hard to bear. Something that is a very big storm, and that is the time we put our anchor in Christ. We start reading the Word, we start praying more, we hold on to that anchor, and we say, now Lord, take me through this. I remember one time I had a dream, and I know that all dreams are not, you know, we just dream some dreams, but I believe that sometimes God does give us dreams, and there's the dreams in the Bible that He gave Jacob dreams, He gave Joseph dreams, and so He gave Joseph dreams, so it's biblical that sometimes God works with man and gives us dreams. And one time I was going through a hard place in my life, and God gave me a dream that the saints were singing specials behind the pulpit, and they were singing to me. They were singing encouraging songs. It was so precious. But you know, God is holding on to us. We don't have to feel like, you know, I just got to hold on to you, Lord. I've just got to hold on to you. That's true. We do have to hold on to the Lord, but the Lord is holding us. He has got us tied up to this anchor. He has got, the Lord has encouraged me. He's got a hold on us. As long as you want to hold on to Him, He's holding on to you. He's holding your hand. He's going to help you. You know, He's not going to let you go easily. He's not going to let you go when you're His child. He's going to help you. He's going to apprehend you. He's going to encourage you. How many times the Lord has given us a song in the night? Maybe you just felt like you just needed something, and the Lord would just give you a song. Or maybe you'd wake up in the morning with a song, and He would talk to you through that song. Or sometimes He would talk to you through a scripture. Or He would talk to you through someone who would encourage you some way. But God is always, always helping you, wanting to help you get to heaven. And all His promises are true. It said that it is impossible for God to lie. You know, the world isn't an encourager for faith, but God wants us to be encouraged to have faith. He is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Jesus Christ, He died on the cross that we could be saved, and He rose from the grave. We celebrated Easter not long ago. But you know, I don't know if that was the exact day, but I know one thing, that Christ did arise from the grave. And I know that it happened one day. And He went to heaven, and He's there at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And it is impossible for God to lie. I believe these things. We believe these things with all our hearts, don't we? Praise God. That's encouraging to know we have an anchor. Praise God. Mark 16:16. You know, it's an anchor to know that we're saved. We've sang some songs tonight. Seemed like the Lord blessed and singing songs about being saved. One of the first songs, I am fully saved today. Fully saved today. All my sins are washed away. And the love of God is flooding all my soul. You know, the scripture says in Mark 16:16, we know that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's in Hebrews. Over here in Mark 16:16, it says that if we will believe and be baptized, 16 and 16 says here, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now I just want to stop there because that's what I'm focused on. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's an anchor. That's an anchor. We know we were saved one time. We were born again and we went on and we got baptized. If we haven't got baptized and you're saved tonight, you need to go on and get baptized because that's an anchor to you. It's an anchor to you. The enemy can come back and say, well, you know, you didn't get baptized. You got saved, but you didn't get baptized because the word says get baptized. You have to put a good foundation down and have that anchor. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, praise God. The enemy can't come along and say, well, you're not saved. You're not saved. Well, did you do anything wrong? Did you sin? No, but you don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what we feel like. We just know because it is possible for God to lie. And if we lay down that foundation, if the blood is on our soul and we're saved from sin and we got baptized, come what may in our life, we know we have that anchor. That anchor, and it encourages us all the time. I know, praise God, he saved me one day. You know, I believe in talking about the present day, Thanksgivings and everything that God's done for us, but the past is wonderful too. The things that the Lord has done for us in the past, and especially the day that we were born again, that you were born again, that you know you can look back and think, that is a rock, you know. That is something steadfast. That is an anchor. The night I gave my heart to the Lord, the night you gave your heart to the Lord, that, or the day or whenever it was, that was an anchor to you. You were born again. You were redeemed from sin. You were changed. You became a new creature. That's an anchor to you. And when the enemy tries to tempt you or come along, I know that the Lord saved my soul. I know that the Lord came in and made me a different person. He gave me a new name. He changed my old life. He gave me a hunger for him, a hunger and thirst after him and righteousness. He caused me to want to walk and obey his commandments. I didn't want to sin anymore. You know, that's an anchor to us. That gives us something to hold on to. The Lord is holding on to us, and he gives us these promises to encourage us. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight for his wonderful blessings. See, in John 20 and 27, you know, the enemy comes in. Sister Maxine preached a message about the voice. I believe it was last Sunday night. You know, the voices and the voice of God. Well, the voice of God always gives us encouragement. The voice of the enemy is come to destroy. And he's an accuser of the brethren. He comes to try to discourage you or say things against you. Or try to say that, you know, just anything he can to try to make you feel downhearted. But if you hear that kind of voice, then you need to go to your anchor in Christ and start quoting scriptures and start believing and encourage your faith and know that God is God and God cannot lie and God promised me a home in heaven and God promised he would keep me saved. He promised he would be with me all the way, even to my very dying day. He promised he would keep me. Oh, praise God tonight. It's an encouragement to me to think of all God's promises and know that he is a God that cannot lie. And they are true. They're steadfast. And he's going to help us. Oh, the Lord talks to us. Isn't it wonderful when God talks to us, when he gives us encouragement, when he chastises us even, when he teaches us his way, when he tells us what to do, when we have a problem and we don't know how to handle it, and we say, Lord, help us. Help us to understand what we can do. And the Lord tells us in a still small voice what we can do. Just recently, the Lord's voice has come to me and told me something I could do to help myself. Oh, the Lord is so good to draw nigher to God. He said if we would draw nigh to him, he would draw nigh to us. This should be the desire of every Christian, to hold on to God, but realizing that he's holding on to you, but at the same time have that desire to draw closer to him. Because the closer we get to him, the farther away we'll get from the enemy. There's an illustration. One time, I think it would be good maybe for this time, but you know when a child is getting whipped, this one child got so close to its mother that the mother just couldn't whip the child very well because the child would just cling to the mother when she wanted to spank the child. And the child had learned the closer the child would get to the mother, the whipping wouldn't be very bad because she couldn't swing it very good, you know. The closer the child would cling to the mother. But you know, it's with Jesus. The closer we get to Him, I really do believe we'll have less difficulties. We'll have less chastisements because we'll be close to Him. We'll be drawing near to Him. And we won't have to be spanked so much because we'll be closer to the Lord. The Lord wants us to do that, to work on ourselves. Every one of us, we're in the flesh. Every one of us have temptations and trials and problems of life. But praise God tonight, we want to focus on the encourager. That God, Jesus, is our encourager. He's our anchor. He's the one that helps us out. It's wonderful how, I know I told the story before, but Grandma went and just say a little bit about it. But just, can you imagine losing two sons in one day in a car accident? But her anchor was in Christ. And she told me, she said, when the policeman knocked at the door, he said, one son is already dead and the other one's in the hospital. In one day, she lost two sons. But she said she remembers standing in the kitchen by the sink, and she said, oh, God, you have to help me right now. You have to help me somehow to be able to bear this. And she said she felt the Holy Spirit just come over her and lift her and carry her through the whole thing. Oh, the Lord will be your anchor. We don't know what's going to happen to any of us. We don't know the hard places in life we're going to have. But be sure of this one thing, that Christ is your anchor, and the Lord knows what you're going through, and the Lord wants to help you. The Lord wants to encourage you, and the Lord will encourage you. He will do something. He will make a way somehow. You know, there's a song like that. The sister wrote it. But, you know, God will make a way somehow. You know, sometimes when we look upon the future, sometimes we are a little fearful of what might happen to us. But we don't have to be afraid because God is our anchor. He's going to help us. He loves us. He knows all about us. And He's going to make a way for us. I thank the Lord. I believe that. I believe the Lord is going to make a way for us. In the story I was reading about an anchor to it, there was something about it said, you know, there was a sea captain and the storm was really raging. It was so bad. And this man came to the captain, and the anchor was down. The storm was still really bad. And said, aren't you fearful? Aren't you so fearful? And the captain said, yes, I'm fearful. But he said, are we in danger? That was it. He said, aren't we in danger, Captain? Aren't we in danger? And he said, no, I'm fearful, but we're not in danger. And that's the way sometimes. It says, in what time I'm afraid, I will trust. There are times we're afraid. We'll trust. We're not in any danger, not really, because God is our anchor. He is. There's so much power in God. I don't know the right word to explain, but you know, we just seem to, I don't know, tapping into the source of the energy and the power. You know, it's so great. It's so beyond what we could even say with words. The power of God. God can just change circumstances. He can work in our lives when no man can work. When no other seem like possibility, and it may look like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Or I don't even know how I'm going to get encouraged. And then God some way will just change in circumstances and providential things. And He can just move in our hearts. And He can heal our wounds. And He can just lift us up. And He can just make a path. And change things, and everything could be so different, and it might look to us at first that it's so gloomy and it's so discouraging, and we don't even know how we can get through it. And God can just work when no man can work, and He can open up doors, He can change things, and He can answer prayer. But we have to just keep having faith and keep calling on the Lord. Sometimes we pray about things and it takes a while for God to answer, and He doesn't answer right away. But He doesn't want us to be discouraged about that. He wants us to keep having faith. He wants us to keep praying. Remember the ones when Peter was in jail and they prayed for Peter that he would get out of jail? It looked impossible, didn't it? It just looked like, how could this man get out of jail? How could he, through all those gates of iron and all those soldiers, and how could Peter be delivered? It looked impossible. But the saints didn't look at it that way. They just kept praying for Peter. Lord, he needs to be delivered. He needs to get out. And you know how to do it. We don't know. Our hands are tied, so to speak. Sometimes all we can do, just little human beings, all we can do is pray. But prayer is not just a small thing, because we've seen God work among us. And we know that prayer is not a small thing. Prayer is mighty. And when we pray to God, God can do things that we can't do. And that's why we need prayer. That's why we need to call on the Lord. But you know, Peter came out, and the angel of the Lord came to deliver Peter. Put on your sandals, rise up. And the angel took him through the gates, and he went through the last one. He was delivered, and he thought at first it was a dream, and he realized no, it wasn't a dream. The angel of the Lord came and delivered him, and he went to the house where the saints were and knocked on the door. And she, Rhoda, I believe it said, she was just so astonished that she didn't open at first. She went, so Peter's at the door. And they said, oh, you must be mad. You must be mad. But here they were praying for that. And they went to the door and opened it, and there for sure was Peter. See how God is our anchor, how he can do anything, how it's impossible for what with man is possible with God. All we have to do is tap into that energy, that source. Praise God. St. John 20 and 27, it says here, Thomas said to him, you know, Thomas wasn't believing. He wasn't having faith. So Jesus made a special visit to him. You know, the Lord wants to encourage. He wants to make a special visit to each one of us, encourage our faith tonight and every day. It says, he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Praise God. This is what we want. We want life. We want eternal life through his name. You know, there's many things we haven't seen with our eyes. Now, we may not have really seen Jesus with our eyes, but we've seen him spiritually. And it's so real to us. It's as real as if Jesus would walk in this door and we really saw him. We would fall down and worship him, and someday we will see him. But it's just as real to us. He's just as real. He is alive. He is our God. He saved us from sin. Jesus, he said, blessed are those that believe, which have not seen like you, Thomas. He says, and blessed. He said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We are blessed because we believe. We haven't seen him yet, but we believe. You know, there's a story about, you know, how a little boy could be flying a kite. This illustration. And the kite could get so high. There's a connection there. And he still has that heavy string he's holding on to. But the clouds could hide the kite, and the child might not be able to see the kite for a little bit. But he knows the kite's there. And he's got to grasp that dream and that holding onto that anchor. And he knows that that kite is still there. But that's the illustration. But we know that Jesus is there. Above those clouds, wherever he's at, we know he's there somewhere. And he's there, and he's even with us and even in us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to come within us. All these things encourage us and gives us our anchor. And so we hold on to that in times of trials. Romans 1 and 17, praise God tonight for the anchor of Jesus, the anchor of Christ, the anchor of his scriptures. Romans 1 and 17, for therein, let's read the 16th verse 2. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Sometimes we share our experiences with one another, and we tell each other the things that the Lord has done for us, and we are illustrating our faith to faith. We are sharing our faith to faith. This is good for us to do this, to tell what God has done for us, to tell and share the experiences that God has done for us, because it gives us faith to one another. And faith is revealed from faith to faith. And God Here it is, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. His word is faith to faith. His promises are faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Everything we believe in, the source of faith, that is our anchor. If we don't have faith, we need help. We must have faith. We live by faith. We know that God is real. We know that Jesus Christ is real. All these things encourages our faith. All the times he's answered our prayers, that gives us faith. He is with me still. The other day, I asked the Lord to give me a song after prayer in the morning, and I opened to that song. It just, I don't know, it was like the Lord was talking to me. And I know, you say, well, every time you open the songbook, you know, it's not that the Lord gave you that song. But there are some times the Lord has done it. I know positively, because it was just what I was needing. And I said, Lord, if you bear with me to ask again for another song. And I opened to the same song. And I said, this is it. This is what the Lord wants me to have today. He is with me still. Though I walk in ways unknown, I am never left alone. For the Lord will not forsake me while I do his will. He is with me still. Sometimes we're walking in ways unknown. Sometimes we don't understand everything and by providential circumstances, everything that's happening to us. But I'm never left alone. We're never left alone. For the Lord will not forsake me while I do his will. Isn't that wonderful? So whatever may be tied, he is walking by my side. And by this I know he loves me still. Jesus is with us still. That's an anchor. That's an anchor. Jesus understands us. We're his children. He's holding onto us. He's holding my hand. Someday we'll get that song. But he is doing it. We'll get all those words. He's holding my hand. Isn't it wonderful? He's holding onto us. He is our anchor. The purpose of an anchor is to hold a ship firmly in one place. The truths of God hold our minds to holiness and perseverance. Isn't that the truth? The truths hold our minds to holiness. The Lord wants us to live holy lives. And his scriptures teach us that. And it holds on to us. Many times people do not understand it. And it says in the Bible that we're peculiar people. Only to the world. We're not peculiar to one another. But to the world, to people that are not saved, because we have different spirits. We have the spirit of Christ. And that's why we're peculiar. But you know, the Lord is with us. He loves us. Praise God. He is with us. The song says, I found a refuge. Praise God. We have found a refuge in Christ. The song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians 3 and 12. It says here, let's read the 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do we know him? Do we know Christ? Is he our anchor? And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Lord has apprehended us. He's anchored us. And we are anchored in him. We have that connection. And he's not going to let us go. As long as we don't want to go anywhere, he's not going to let us go. We could go if we wanted to, but he's not going to let us go as long as we want to hold on to him. No, Brother Pope, he's not going to let any man. Nobody can take us out. Nobody can take our name out of the book of life. Only ourselves, but not anybody else. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Our names are written in the book of life. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Praise God. That's what we have to do. We have to forget some things which are behind. And sometimes that's not easy to do because we have a memory and we remember things. But you know, if it's not good things, we need to ask the Lord to help us to forget about it as much as we can so it won't torment us. You know, one day it seemed like the Lord brought to my mind. He just came to my mind. I was having some battles in my mind, thinking, and the Lord seemed to speak in that still small voice, says, you think too much. And I thought, you know, I think I do. It was just, my mind, you know, I would just go from one thing to another. Sometimes it wasn't always pleasant. And, you know, the Lord just spoke that still small, but you think too much. And I'm trying to rest my mind. I'm trying to get that anchor in Christ. Oh, let us fill our minds with encouragement. He said, whatsoever things, I believe that's in Philippians 2. Somewhere in the next chapter, in the fourth chapter. Finally, brethren, eighth verse, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good, report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's an anchor. Do we use that anchor? When the enemy comes in like a flood, you know, he has to work through our mind. What else can he work through? What else? I think about the scripture, or the psalm that said, the voices call me, but there is no answer. Isn't that something? And the voices come through our mind. But if we can learn to rest our anchor in Christ and start quoting things that are good, the enemy may come and say things like, rainy days, weary days. Well, we can say, well, I love the rain. But the enemy says, but you don't love it when you have plans. He'll say things like, you know, there were some plans that we were supposed to have, you know, Saturday night that didn't get to be. Well, he can tell you things like that too. You know what? We can still rejoice and say, but I love the rain. I love the rain because the rain helps the flowers and the rain helps the garden. And soon the sun's going to come again. You know, and we can just speak good things to ourselves instead of being thinking opposite. That's an anchor to us. Praise God. The Lord wants to help us. In working on these things, the Lord is helping me to work on these things. And it says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, to have apprehended or to attain heaven yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, but you say, well, what can be encouraging in the future? You know, if all was lost. We have an encouragement in the future. You know what the encouragement is? We have heaven to look forward to. We have eternity in heaven. That's what we've been working for all of our life since we've been saved, to make it to heaven. So how can the enemy try to discourage us and say, we have nothing to look forward to? We have something wonderful to look forward to. It says here, forgetting those things, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, before the little grandchildren come along, I used to ask people, what is it like to have grandchildren? Do you love them like your own children? What does it feel like? You know, I was kind of excited thinking about that anticipation of having grandchildren, what it would be like. And you know, it is so wonderful and it's so loving and it's just, you know, you have to experience that. But you know, it's just that, you know, every stage of our life can be wonderful if we have the right outlook, if we are happy about it, if we're excited about it, and you don't have to get discouraged about it at all. You can realize every day of your life, you can praise God. Every day that he gives you, you can enjoy your life. But God knows the appointed time that he'll take you to heaven, and it will be the perfect time. It will be the best time. And you don't have to worry about it. You just have that anchor. But forgetting those things and press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a prize. There is something that's coming for us ahead of us that's wonderful, that is glorious. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. It says here, 1 Corinthians in 15th chapter, praise God that for that anchor in Christ. All these scriptures are anchored to us. It gives us encouragement. 15 and 58 says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, be steadfast, be unmovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord. No, it's true that sometimes you can go visit somebody that's sick and you feel like you went to encourage them, and you can go away from that house and you be encouraged. You are encouraged. You said, well, I was supposed to encourage them and they encouraged me. But when you're abounding in the work of the Lord, when you're abounding in the right thing, God gives you encouragement. You know, unless the Lord gives me a message to share, it's a message for me. And many times we can feast on these scriptures later and think about them. And it's an anchor to us. it just gives us encouragement to press on a little further. You know, the Lord wants us to believe, and He wants us to be steadfast, and He wants us to be unmovable. Anchors help us to be faithful and useful. When we're anchored in Christ, when we believe what we believe, when we're steadfast, when we're unmovable, then the Lord can use us. He can use our vessels for Him because we are steadfast and unmovable. But if we believe one thing one day and believe something else the next day, and, you know, we go back and forth and we're not steadfast about things, well, then it's hard to be useful for the Lord when we're like that. But the Lord wants us to be steadfast, have that anchor, be unmovable. Come what may, whatever happens to us, the Lord can help us to be encouraged. Praise God. The Lord, He knows how to help us. So, our ship must be saved. You heard that song that says, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking. Throw out the lifeline. You know, when we have that anchor in Christ, we are capable of throwing out the lifeline to others. Because we have something to bring them to, some encouragement to bring them, hope to bring to them. You know, sometimes you see people begging, maybe on the side of the street, and sometimes I may be a little fearful if I'm alone or if it's late or something, but if I feel like it's safe, sometimes I have, you know, rolled down my window and gave a few dollars or whatever the Lord told me to give. But you know, the thing is, what those people need is not really the money so much. They need hope. They need hope because the money will just be spent for a little bit and they will still be in their predicament. But they need Christ. You know, that's what Peter and John said to the man. They said he was begging for alms and he said, silver and gold have we none. But such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. If he could walk, he could work, he could take care of himself. He wouldn't need their money. That was the greatest gift they could have gave him. That he was healing. Oh, the Lord wants us to have this anchor that we can give it to others. We can give them hope. You know, there's been sometimes people would just start talking to me about God. And we didn't say anything much, and we didn't say anything to them. You know, I think sometimes we feel like we don't want to be pushy with our religion, so we don't say anything. But sometimes they open up the door and they talk to us. And they tell us, well, did you hear this about God? Did you hear about what's going on in the world today? And how they want to stop prayer? And they'll say, would you know, God is helping us. And they'll just start talking about God. You know, we kind of, excuse me, we kind of get used to the way we're living. What I mean by that is saying, you know, we've been Christians and we dress a certain way and we just kind of don't realize how different we probably look to people. You know, how that that we are different, you know, and we may not realize that our light is shining, but the Lord wants us to be an anchor there for them. And if we have that anchor in Christ, we can be that for those people that are perishing in the world. You know, this congregation, we can be an anchor. Sometimes, I know, we may think, well, some come and some don't come, and then some come not very often and things. But the Lord, He seems to tell me this way, you know, just be there, be an anchor. Be what God wants you to be. Be the lighthouse that's on the hillside. You know, Jesus, if it wasn't for that lighthouse, where would we be? Where would our ship be? And this is what the Lord wants the congregation here at Guthrie to be. To be that anchor for Him. To be there so when people come, they can find salvation. There's somebody here that can pray for them, that knows how to get a hold of God, right? We're having a meeting that's coming up, and we each one can just put our whole heart in the Lord's service. You know, if we all just do our part and put our whole heart in that service, God needs you. God needs every one of us. And if we all do our part, because you know one of us can't do it all, it would be too taxing on our body. But you know, all of us together can work together and souls can be saved. The anchor of prayer, let's think about that. We are going to have prayer and fast for Sister Taylor and we pray for our meeting. There's a powerful power in prayer, power. And that's an anchor for us. That when all might look down sometimes to us, we can pray. And we can pray, we have a song, we can pray those clouds away. Those gloomy clouds, so dark and gray. We can pray until we pray those clouds away. That's an anchor. Many times in my life when the enemy would come in like a flood to me, different times I could look back and think, the Lord would say, one time especially, he spoke to me, and we were living up there in Edmond, and the Lord said, go pray. I heard his voice, and I did. And the Lord lifted me up. He lifted me. Praise the Lord. He gave me that anchor. He was there. He was there, and he held me, and he showed me what to do. He directed my steps. I could have went the wrong way, but the Lord directed me. How many times Christ has been our anchor in life? How many times he's held us and directed our path? Will he forsake us now after all these years? No. He can take us all the way to that heavenly home. There's nothing we have to be afraid of. The Lord will take us way, all the way. I believe that. He'll take us all the way to that heavenly home. I want to make heaven my home. I want to make it there. I want to hold on to that anchor in Christ. I think back in my life, if it wasn't for that lighthouse, where would this ship be? But the Lord Jesus, he loved me enough to...